Of all the stuff that I just talked about, what is the most important piece of legislation or regulation or incentive that you see here, and why is it important for your industry?
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure for me to be here, and I appreciate AFVI's invitation to sit on the panel. I think you characterize a lot of good policies that the United States government has put in place recently, but clearly, from the propane industry's perspective, the energy bill and the highway bills that were passed last year clearly create market opportunities for us. Long-term, sustainable government policies is what's been driving the market around the world. We've got more than 10 million vehicles that operate on propane around the world, and you can look at several different market factors. The conventional price of gasoline today and diesel, but also the government incentives that are in place. And with the infrastructure provisions, with the incremental vehicle cost provisions in the energy bill, and of course the fuel credit provisions in the highway bill, are all three what we call three legs of the stool that are necessary to what we see stimulating the market development. What we'd like to see eventually would be the permanency of those three provisions. What will help us get to those permanency provisions would be, obviously, if we can demonstrate to the government that these three provisions, the CLEAR Act provisions, help grow the market. And if we can demonstrate through that, I think that we have a real opportunity.
Joe, what do you see as the most important component to these bills?
Well, for biodiesel, the biggest thing, obviously, is our tax credit. Our tax credit was enacted as a part of the Jobs Act, as a component of the VTEC legislation in the fall of 2004. It took effect in 2005, but the IRS didn't have their forms or regulations
can't,
or anything
can't imagine that.
In place until March of 2005, and so that's when it really started to kick in very strongly and has proven very, very effective in incentivizing biodiesel. It originally went through 2006. It was a two-year program for cost, to reduce the cost of the program, with the intention always of extending that beyond 2006, of course. And it was extended in the energy bill to 2008. It was the intent was to extend that to 2010 in order to sync it up with ethanol in the VTEC. But it was everybody got a haircut, so to speak, and our provision got trimmed back to 2008. There is an extenders bill currently, and maybe we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but that would extend that to 2008 and would sync it up with ethanol. So the tax credit clearly is the strongest thing for biodiesel.
For biodiesel, explain it to our audience, and I hate to be so crass, how much per gallon do you get on VTEC on a gasoline gallon equivalent? Just help take me through the arithmetic on that.
There are two levels of incentive. One is for biodiesel, which gets 50 cents a gallon, and one is for what meets the definition of agribiodiesel. And agribiodiesel is basically from first-use oils and animal fats versus just biodiesel, which is for recycled oils. And the reason for that provision is that historic averages, the recycled oils are about half the cost from the first-use oils, and so it was a cost containment measure.
Rich, what's the most important thing for the natural gas vehicle industry in those bills?
We're in the same position as propane. Let me just back up a little bit and talk about these credits. The fuel credit is 50 cents a gallon to the seller of the fuel. And this goes into effect October 1st. 50 cents a gallon to the seller of the fuel. If there is no seller, in our case, if it's a compressed natural gas and the owner of the station is the owner of the fleet, it goes to the fleet itself. So for a municipality that has its own transit buses and it's got its own station, they get the 50 cents. And it's not an income tax credit. It's an excise tax credit. It acts like a rebate. So even if you don't pay any taxes, you still get the money. And we expect it to be sort of like what the IRS is, God only knows what IRS is doing, but I assume they're going to handle it like biodiesel and ethanol, where you're going to get, you send in a form, you're going to get a check every quarter.
Rich, when do you think the IRS is going to get that all sorted out so that we can have a guideline for that? Do you have a feel for
it? Let me look into my crystal ball here.
Exactly.
January 1st, 2006 is when the IRS said they were going to have it. We had a meeting with them in December. They said, first of the year, and then later, and then later. Right now, there's been no indication when they're that guidance. And what we're looking for is clarification, how they're going to implement it. Because there's some ambiguity. Some cases are clear. You own a public station, and people come in and use the station. Obviously, the seller, in that case, gets the credit. You own your own CNG station, you get the credit. What about situations where people, like a transit agency, they own the station, but somebody else operates it for them? Who gets that credit? If there's a leasing company involved, who gets the credit? So all those things we need to get clarified, and we don't know.
Scott Gerke is here with American Honda, and as you know, Honda being a leader in alternative fuels in several different categories. Scott, look at what we talked about today a little bit from the hybrid point of view, if you
sure.
would. Tell me what's the most important thing in these bills for hybrid vehicles.
Well, there's the hybrid tax incentive in the bill, and that's very much of a work in progress, I would say, Andrew, in terms of getting, again, Rich mentioned the guidance issue, and that's sort of a common theme, I think, throughout this in terms of trying to get clarity for our customers. But there is the hybrid provision in there. There's a 60,000 vehicle cap per manufacturer, and so that's going to all play itself out in terms of which manufacturers hit the cap when and all of that. There's also, interesting enough, discussion already in the Congress, and given the frenzied review of energy policy in the Congress right now, one of the issues that they're considering is removal of the cap on the hybrid tax incentive, and consideration of extending that out some additional time. So the hybrid tax incentive is something that our dealers have very much found an interest in. Customers, though, want some certainty in terms of the value of that credit. So there's a certification process that each manufacturer had to go through with the IRS to detail the specifics of the vehicles in order to determine the value of the credit using the formula. All the manufacturers are going through that, have either completed that process or in the process that it is in process. And once that is done, I think that'll give the dealer and therefore our customers a lot more clarity.
Okay, but is a customer today buying a hybrid vehicle getting the credit?
Yes, right. As of January 1st, the credit went into effect. So all those vehicles are eligible for the credit. It's a question of being able to define for them specifically what the value of that credit is. We as a manufacturer and, frankly, our dealers are somewhat reluctant to give a definitive number without that certification from the IRS. So once that's all completed, I think that will be something that we can give our dealers and we give our customers, give them much more certainty in terms of the values of those credits.
On a Honda hybrid, how much is generally, I'm not trying to pin you down, but generally what is that credit worth right now?
Well, it can range from anywhere from $2,100 all the way down to $1,200 or $1,300, depending on the vehicle and whether it's a manual or automatic transmission. So there's a variance in terms of the value of the credit.
What about the GX?
And obviously, and then we're also in the unique situation of having an alternative fuel vehicle, which is eligible for that credit. That gets the maximum credit, which is $4,000. And we also have the fill device, which is our home refueling device, which is also eligible for credit under the alternative fuel infrastructure credit. So we're very excited, actually, about that initiative, and the timing of that is very good in terms of introduction in California and now in the state of New York. We're really looking forward to that taking off in terms of a retail market where in the past that vehicle's really been limited to the fleet side.
So I go in to buy a natural gas Honda GX. I get a $4,000 credit on the vehicle, and I get how much for a fill?
It's up to $1,000 on the fill device as well. So, and then there's certain states. I know California has state tax credits as well that they're eligible for. So there's a fairly significant package of incentives out there on the alternative fuel vehicle side.
Phil, from your perspective, what's the most important thing in these bills for your industry?
Andrew, we worked for not necessarily E85, but for all forms of alternative fuels. And I think there's really three significant items in the energy bill for alternative fuels, and that's the extension of the CAFE credits. Clearly, the automakers take advantage of that, as well they should, to incentivize the additional cost to produce an alternative fuel vehicle, not just E85, but all forms of alternative fuel vehicles. The requirement that the federal government now use alternative fuels when it is available at reasonable pricing, which is left to be defined. And then finally, the income tax credit for alternative fueling infrastructure, which we announced last week, has finally got a form out now from the IRS. As Rich and the others have indicated in their infinite wisdom, they do not work quickly, but hopefully we'll be able to have that taken advantage of by not only the private sector, but the way this was written, for the public sector, tax-exempt entities to be able to take advantage of this federal income tax credit by allowing the next highest taxable entity to take the credit and then passing some portion or all of the credit down to the tax exempt. So we think that those are the three items. I guess the fourth one would be that our friends in the propane and natural gas industry now are on a level playing field, if you will, to receive incentives to promote their fuels as well. So the biodiesel folks and the ethanol folks are just not out here with the bullseye on our back with the subsidies. Now Rich is also...
They're not subsidies anymore.
Okay, yeah. See,
now that we get them,
they're incentives.
Now they're incentives.
I'm pleased to know that.
We'd like to have the president, though, show up and talk about our fuel like he's talking about your fuel right now, too. Let me know how you're doing that.
Well, as long as the presidential process starts in Iowa, you're going to learn a lot about ethanol when you're running for president.
We have to move.
Exactly.